This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show.
Hey, everybody. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another Breaking Bad After Show. This is Season 5, Episode 15, Granite State. I am Matt Lieberman, subbing in for John Comerford. He and Tamara Berg could not be here tonight. We wish them well. We miss them. We'll have them back for the finale. But I am joined, as always, with the fantastic and talented Miss Kristen Snyder.
Hello, hello.
And joining us is AfterBuzz co-founder Kevin Undergaro is here.
I'm so excited to be here.
Back,
so glad
back
you're
on the
back.
Podcast.
Oh my God, I've been dying every week to come in, but no room for me.
Well, now there's room, and we're so grateful to have you. So much to talk about this week. We've got Walt's exile. We've got the final game plan of this series moving into motion. Finally, all the pieces are in place, and we have all of the gaps filled in before the scene at Denny's at the top of Season 5. We're going to get to Walt because there's so much to talk about, but first I just want to talk about everybody else. We got Skyler dealing with the mess that he left in her lap. The last-minute phone call gambit kind of clearing her of the majority of the blame here, but she has no access to the money. She's having so much trouble getting work. There's nothing for them to do, and we've got that great scene where she's talking to the DEA, and the sound is kind of muted, and they're moving in slow motion. It's a nice callback to when Walt found out about his cancer back in Season 1, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like Walt left Skyler high and dry?
I think that's definitely yes. I mean, there's nothing that can be done on her end to make their life any easier. She's going to be the subject of ridicule and shame, and people are going to be staring at her in everywhere she goes.
I mean, I kind of blame her for, you know, giving up on him. I'm still a Walter White fan till the end, and as his wife, I would have went with him.
Went with him?
Yeah, the cabin, 2 acres of land out in the woods. Why wouldn't she go with?
Why wouldn't she turn him in two or three years ago?
What do you think, Kevin?
Kevin is okay, just dumbstruck.
Okay, I'm dumbstruck because I am Team Walter White.
Yeah.
I am so excited about how it ended, so I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah.
The show's great because it's gray, hence the company mm-hmm. Gray Matter.
Sure.
You know, and real life is gray. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not black and white. Movies have tried to make life black and white for us, and, you know, especially American movies. You know,
yeah.
European
right.
cinema is very gray. And this show is gray. I get Skyler, but I get Walter.
Yeah.
You know, the people who say that, oh, Walt evil, he's taken that turn. And you know, I get where he blamed it all on Jesse Pinkman. Why? Because he loved Hank that much.
Yeah.
And he was angry and he was violent mm-hmm. that, like, you know, his brother-in-law and someone that was very close to him perished. And he wanted to take it out on somebody. And Jesse was the guy that led them there. And so in that, like, knee-jerk moment, as a human, he said, you know, he's Pinkman, you know, go take him away and kill him, beat him. But I do get where Skyler's coming from as much as I get where Walt is coming from. That's why this show is brilliant.
Yeah, I think that...
I mean, you just ask me who I'm rooting for. I can give
yeah.
you a different answer on that. But I get where they're coming from. I've the one said from the beginning that I didn't feel that she was as present a wife as she should have been for a man of that great potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I always go back to that scene when she's eBaying items on his birthday and decides to give him...
The soy bacon?
Hand a hand job under the covers while she's bidding on an item.
Yeah.
And, you know, so to me, I've said from the beginning that she wasn't, you know, in many ways worthy of him. And then in other ways that I've seen that she had the potential to be his partner.
Are you saying that she let this happen?
No, I'm not saying she let it happen. I'm just saying I get it all. I get where he got. I get where he was frustrated in his life, where he did all the right things. He thought he made all the right moves. His ideas were turned into a billion-dollar company with two people he trusted and loved. And they don't talk about much about his radiation poisoning. I mean, his cancer.
Yeah.
But to me, that cancer came from the testing and the work he did in the lab to make them all the millions. And
right.
So it's just so – it's just – I get where this guy was just cornered like a rat. And he just said, F this. It's time for me to get mine back. And, you know, one bad decision another. So I get it. All I'm saying, and I get where Skylar, I'm like, oh, my God, get out of here.
Yeah.
I get it. And I get where he's so obsessed with his, quote, his life's work. He keeps going back to this. I get he thought that one phone call last week to the police would exonerate Skylar, get her off the hook. He would hide out with the money, and eventually he'd get them the money.
Yeah.
He's thinking, again, he's thinking the end. And he's thinking about protecting his life's work. That's his obsession.
Yeah.
I understand that obsession. And have there been many, many casualties along the way for that obsession, now including what's going on with Skylar and Flynn? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it all goes back to even the first season, right? Every time that Walt makes another decision without asking anybody for advice, things get worse. Like a lot of the beginning of season one was just mopping up the mess that came from that first cook. Yeah. And dealing with, you know, the guy that he didn't want to kill. And everything since then, he doesn't know this criminal world, but he is such an ego that he just kind of moves forward anyway. And he thinks that these moves are going to work, but then they never work out, which draws him further and further in.
But I get it all.
Yeah.
I get it all.
We get the motivations.
But I also get great ego. It takes great ego to achieve great things. And I get... why do you think, again, Hollywood, we see these superstars, like, their minds go nuts. They go, you know, it's just the more power people get, you know, the more it goes in this direction. I also think this speaks to karma.
Yeah.
You know, I think even in real life, I still believe, and I don't know how you guys feel, but I feel like organized crime and people that do that, ultimately, they usually pay for it in the end.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is just life. You know, he had good intentions, but didn't matter if he even just kept cooking out of that little unit. Back in the desert, back in the day, bad things were going to happen as a result.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, he lives in this world where it's illegal to cook meth, but it's like, you know, everything he's doing is kind of not approved by this world. But he's like this greatness that is constrained by the world that he lives in. And I feel like a lot of people do feel that way.
I think this is why the show is so popular, because I think it totally speaks to the spirit of our society right now. I think there's just many people who have played by the rules, followed the American dream, and now are completely disillusioned.
Yeah.
Like, really? Why? Why? I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 60. Really? Why did I do? Why? Yeah.
And this guy is the best in the world at what he does. It just happens to be.
And there he is washing cars by hand as we begin and being crapped on by
that
guy.
He's the best in the world.
In the world.
The best in the world. And he's being crapped on by Bogdan, cleaning cars. Of course, something's going to snap. When he finds out it was all for nothing, he's got months to live.
Right.
He builds this legacy. And I think that the last few episodes in particular have brought us back from that sort of like precipice of, oh, he's gone completely dark. He's just pure Heisenberg. I think that the last two episodes, this episode in particular, really show that he's never forgotten about that original purpose.
Screaming Jack, no, when he didn't want to kill, when he didn't want to kill Hank.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's just the deeper you get into it.
He could have just had Hank be killed.
Yeah.
Never mentioned the $80 million to those guys.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, absolutely the humanity's still there.
It's still intensely important. I think it's just the further you get into the business, the more you have to make these difficult decisions, you lose parts of yourself.
That's it.
But those things never, ever died. And I think that that's what this episode stated definitively.
Right.
Is this guy, you know, he is a bad person, ultimately. He's not a great person, but he's not completely evil.
He's great.
I think he's still
great.
The guy
he's great.
They wanted us to see that he's still the guy from episode one.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I we will get really deep into right. this later in the episode. I want to touch on everybody else because this conversation could dominate the whole hour.
Right. Talk about even, you know, when I saw Marie's face in that one close-up.
Yeah, and she knew.
I just felt like she knew Hank was dead.
She knew Hank was dead. Yeah. There's no way he's alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hank's dead, Gomi's dead. Nothing that the DEA agents can say is going to change her mind on that. And then they come back to the house and it's just been ransacked by the Aryan Nation.
Our friends.
Yeah, who are just sitting around drinking beer, eating popcorn, and watching Jesse Pinkman break down, talking about his entire sordid criminal past and like say, like, when is this guy going to not be a bitch and stop crying? And he can't stop crying. Poor guy.
Well, by the way, the most significant thing for me was, you know, and I'm always into the subtext of the dialogue, but when I think it was Jack who said, "This all this bitch does is cry." It was I have it written down here, but it was something about
he won't stop.
Or he won't quit.
He won't quit.
And when I heard that, I was like, you know what, Jesse ain't done.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse ain't done. He's gonna keep coming.
Yeah,
and I think that's what the audience is rooting for at this point. If Walter White has lost you, you're still behind Jesse, I think.
But here's the thing, right? So
I'm still behind Walter.
Yeah,
I am too.
Well, universally behind Walter, and like I'm excited to see what he does in the finale. But I pose this question to you, Kevin. Right?
Yeah.
So over the course of the series, though, Jesse has all but given up several times. He's gone to like a nearly catatonic state. You know, he wants to kill himself. He wants to die.
Right.
He's, you know, he's a loose cannon. He's a little bit suicidal.
Well, he's also an addict.
Yeah.
So, you know, and think of the drugs he's been on, you know, heroin and things like that. So, but somebody who also has incredible potential that was never realized. And that's why you guys, one of you had brought up like, oh, wow, Jesse all of a sudden knows how to pick a lock with a paperclip. And I said, why I buy into that writing-wise is because this is a guy, the character that's all, he's been overlooked his whole life. Mm-hmm. He was a D-minus student, whatever he was, just getting high before class and waltzing through class. But Walt, as I always tell Phil, takes great when, you know, if you're a script writers out there and you know, and some of you people aren't getting your material, Take this to heart. It takes greatness to get greatness, you know, and only great people get great people. And Walt, being great, got Jesse. He got what was in Jesse. He got the there was more to it. And
he identified with him.
I think more than probably in the fact he underachieved, yes, but he knew that there was greatness in him. So there's enough in him to pick a lock, just like there's enough in him to do a 93% or
96%. Yeah.
Effing cook that, as you said, Walt's the greatest in the world. So now what does that make Jesse? That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
That's why I buy he can pick a lock.
Yeah, but it's also just shows up how screwed, up their relationship is. Cause
of course.
Well, cause like he still makes Jesse kill people, still made him kill Gail. You know, he saw that he had deep strength in him, the strength to kill a man.
But he also saved Jesse too.
Several times.
That's why we love this show.
Yeah. No, because you can't definitively fall on any one side of any of these issues. It's just like life. Life is gray. You know, things get mixed up. And frankly, you know, no matter what negative things he's done for Jesse, he's also, unlocked a lot of his hidden potential. Right. You know, what would he be doing now if Mr. White hadn't found him?
He'd just be getting high and selling weed and probably be happy.
He'd probably be in jail by now.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
That's a good point.
Or he could be behind bars.
Yeah. But let's talk about him at the Aryan Nation. He's trying to break out of his makeshift prison underground. He got some free ice cream, which was nice.
For 96%.
Well, even in backing up, as we see that he's ratting out Todd, and so Uncle Jack's like, okay, he's got to die.
Yeah.
So out they march to kill Jesse. And, you know, as I said to you guys, did you notice the shot on one side? It was Jack and the four other goons.
And then it was Todd.
And it was Todd. They were separated. And I'm like, that's interesting.
Yeah,
Todd's not with them. Todd.
Well, we were talking last week, you know, why would they continue trying to make the meth if they had $70 million?
Well,
you know,
now we know.
Because Jack's sweet on Todd. Todd's sweet on Lydia. And they're going to keep this going until Todd bags, if you will. Lydia.
I don't think it's just that. I mean, he has so much respect for Walter White. Yeah. I think he's more about following in Walter White's footsteps than he is about Lydia. I think Todd is psychopathic.
I don't know. He is psychopathic. I think he does look up to Walt, but he seems like he loves Lydia.
I feel like he's the kind of guy.
By the way, that is a great question. Is he more into Lydia or is he more into the pure? Is it to get a pure cook to get Lydia, or is it to get a pure cook to be a significant person?
I think it's more about himself. Like, let's talk about his psychology a bit, right? He's a guy, he's a loose cannon, he's a murderer, he collects trophies. When he killed Drew Sharp, right? He takes the spider and he looks at it intensely. In many ways, as useful as Jesse is, I feel like he's also kind of a trophy, you know, for Mr. White. He's a replacement Mr. White. He's a piece of him that he can just keep and that can benefit him moving forward. I don't know if his love for Lydia is really love or if it's more of that fixation.
No, I mean, he's not capable of loving. I mean, yeah. It's some kind of obsession. But the question is, as I'm posing this out loud, as Christian was made a great point, is it Todd's love of just making a perfect cook so he can be somebody, be important? Or is it whatever his final ending be to be with Lydia?
Yeah.
I think it started out for Walter White, and I think...
turned to Lydia.
No, I don't think it's turned to Lydia. I think she's just someone who's in the mix, and of course he wants to impress her too.
She's part of the equation.
Yeah. She's part of the equation, just like Walter White was working with Lydia. He's now kind of replacing Walter White, and he kind of sees that they are a good team together.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like, you know, at the end of the day, he doesn't want to impress a girl. Are you kidding? This is a psychopathic.
Well, he
loved Walter White. Like, he looked up to him like an idol. He
I wish
wants
Todd
to follow
worked
in his
at
AfterBuzz.
I'll tell you, we have this guy, Stephen the Mew, who works here. He's our Todd. And I have to say, like, I'm so...
He's not our Todd.
He's our Todd. I'm so pleased to have
it.
Him. And, yeah. And unfortunately, Phil's our Jesse. So, you know, it's like, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
I find Todd to be a model employee. Would love to have Todd with me.
But he's only scoring 76%. He set the whole place on fire.
Yeah, but he kept the business going.
That's true. Here's what I think, right? What if Lydia is the trophy for becoming a meth kingpin of Mr. White's caliber? What if it's not about Lydia, but Lydia is essentially the spider of this whole
Probably,
thing?
Probably, yeah. I think that's what Chris is saying. I mean, I would have thought it was Lydia, but she's right. Think of where he was at from the beginning. Yeah,
yeah.
He wants to be the man.
But it also kind of shows when he brings Jesse the ice cream as a reward for getting 96%,
yeah.
I feel like that kind of loops into his whole idea of what is love, what is affection,
yes.
and why do we do what we do. He does it for praise and rewards that he never received.
Right.
You know, and that's why he keeps these trophies. He's like, I did good, I deserve
that's right.
blank. So
I also just don't think he's about the money. Like,
no.
I
know,
obviously,
no, that's
but
why I want him to work for me. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just like how Jack was saying, oh, we've got all these millions. And he's like, but why settle when you can have so much more? But it's not even about the money to Todd ever.
Phil, is Stephen Lemieux about the money?
No.
No. See, that's why we love him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not about the money, but greed kind of plays into this episode a few times. You know, we have
a few times.
Well, it's more than once is a few, Kevin. Okay,
all right.
But you have that moment where Jack gives in to Todd. You know, partially because he's okay. You're sweet on this woman.
It's interesting. Jack has shown a lot of smarts. Mm-hmm. I think giving Walt the money was smart.
Yeah,
because you either need to kill him, which could have made more red flags, or give the money and let him go. That was a smart move because
yeah.
then you hope that the guy just takes the money and forgives or accepts. But this was weakness on his part for Todd. You know,
right.
Todd's been so good to them. Todd has set them up for a life.
Right.
So you can think, okay, you want to throw it in this yuppie bitch? Fine, mm-hmm. We'll let you. Okay, we'll let you keep your toy.
Here's a scenario. What if it's Walter White comes back to go against Jack, mm-hmm. right?
Why are we going into scenarios?
Yeah.
No, I just want to say.
Don't jump ahead.
No, I just want to say, I think Todd will go on Walter White's side,
oh,
and he would kill his uncles to save Walter White.
I don't know. Family, man. Family. This whole show's about family.
But you know what? But you're right. But he looks up to Mr. White more than he looks up to Jack.
To Uncle Jack.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
and we got that separation that you mentioned.
It's true.
Yes, and we have the separation between the two of them. To me, signifies that there's going to be a schism at some point.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, then, what do you think? Where do you think his allegiances lie when he kills Andrea? right? So Jesse finally escapes in like this.
Because the final end is to become the kingpin. And
right.
You know, Jesse, I was nice to you as a nice pet. I had you in your little cage. I gave you ice cream. Right. And this is, and you know what? We could have a night. Now you had to go do that. So now I got to kill the girl. Now can we get back to making pure cook?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
The thing about Todd, there's no half measures.
No. And yeah. By the way, we know that from what Mike, mm-hmm. no more half measures, Walt.
Remember yeah, exactly.
I mean, as terrible as it is, though, it's nice to see that next Walter White who doesn't take the half measures and doesn't have any kind of remorse for anyone or any emotions. It's kind of nice to see that, like, ultimate Heisenberg.
Well, but that's the thing, right? It's Walter White without the intelligence, mm-hmm. without any sense of morality, without any kind of empathy. You know, it's the way that he talks, the way that he keeps saying good instead of well. We do work good. You know, Walter, the most important thing about him is his intelligence. It's the
right. Yeah, Todd doesn't have that. No, Todd's just mimicking.
Yeah,
he just mimics behavior.
Exactly.
So even when he seems like he's just being nice, it's just mimicking the mm-hmm. behavior that he's seen. I had a question for you guys, and this I don't know the answer to, so I'm not asking it rhetorically.
Okay.
Was it a 93% cook or a 96% cook?
He told Lydia it was a 92%.
93, right?
92.
92, okay.
92%, and then he told Jesse 96. So,
what's the truth?
Well, it could very well be that the ones that he gave to Lydia were a 92% cook, and then the 96% batch was the latest batch that Jesse had cooked while Todd was away.
Gotcha.
Okay. It could be that.
Or was it to incentivize Jesse? To be like, look, you're doing good, Dick, you know?
Once you get into that level of percentages, I feel like telling him that you got 92 is the same as telling him that he got 96.
No, not in that world.
He's a captive. What level of pride are you going to get?
I don't know. Yeah, so maybe it's the new batch, it's 96.
I feel like it's not that deep, but I noticed that when it happened.
So I think it's a newer
batch.
It is
significant.
And to me, well, the significance is the fact that Jesse is that good.
Yeah.
That this is no whiny little bitch, that he is going to... He's going to figure it out.
He's even better than he was. If you remember back to season 4 when he went down to Mexico to do his first solo cooks.
Right.
And he was desperate to get anything above 90. And I think he got a 93 or 94 back then. So he's even better now than he was then.
He's damn good. I want to be
But Todd is all about the motivations. I mean, we had the Andrea and Brock picture from the beginning and now shooting Andrea and the ice cream.
He's
I
good
mean,
at what he does.
Yeah.
He's efficient.
And he's like, sorry.
Monsters are efficient.
Blows her head off in the wide shot.
Ugh, that was so brutal. And just like, don't open the door. Don't unchain the door. Don't walk outside the door. It's like every single move she made,
But she wasn't privy so much to a lot of it. She knew probably a little bit about Walter White in the news. So,
right.
I could. You're right. No, she would have known from all the publicity.
She would have known at the very least that he was tied to Walter White.
But again, with this show... I'm not kicking tires. I'm going along for the ride.
Not even.
It's just too amazing.
Right. But she was dying for information.
Yeah, there you go.
Dying for information, fine. But, like, Walter White was in her house. Walter White was in her house several times.
True.
Recently.
I'm okay. I'm still tuning in next week. I'm okay.
Fine, Undergaro. I just want to take a second and thank everybody who has rated and commented on iTunes and on YouTube and tweeted at us. We love our fans, and we're so happy that you are taking part of this conversation with us. If you could just take a moment and rate and comment on iTunes if you haven't already, we would deeply appreciate it. We love 5-star ratings because it lets us know we're doing our job well, and we can keep doing it for... we won't be doing this show anymore after next week. So sad.
It's going to be such a letdown because we are watching the greatest television that's ever been produced.
Yeah.
And everything else is a letdown.
Yeah.
You know, I have, my subtext is Boardwalk Empire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is my heroine. That's like my, and it's good. It's really good. I love the show, but this is just.
Yeah, so much better.
It's more pure. That's 91%. This
you
is
96%. Game of Thrones.
Really?
Yeah. Game of Thrones is pretty great. And I've
as pure as this?
No.
Would you say 91%?
I would say it's second. Yeah, I would give it 91%.
Yeah, I would say maybe it's like season 2.
Maybe
quality.
I'll do some binge viewing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should.
All right. So we've talked a bit about everybody else in the picture. I want to start talking about Walt. We open on
we didn't talk about we have to talk about Todd and Lydia.
Okay, so we have the scene at the coffee shop where they've apparently started to stock stevia after she kicked up such a fuss at the top of season 5.
By the way, though, once again, you've seen some of her weaknesses. Lydia, you're good. Yeah. It's just not that good.
No. Her greed She's got greedy. The better of her,
That's right. She was almost out the
she
door.
She was almost out the door. She would have been fine. That would have been the last we saw of her in this story.
But
92%. And it's blue.
Right. Yeah.
It's so funny. You look at the contrast between...
Todd wearing the blue yuppie shirt, which
was fantastic.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
Handsome. Very handsome.
Very
handsome.
You
actually kind of look like him right now.
Nice job.
And I do have kind of a Lambertian beard going.
We have the hair.
Yeah. I have the hair going. So I've got Walt and White.
Finally coiffed.
Thank you. Let's take a look at the three different scenes that took place all in this cafe, right? We had the one with her and Mike at the beginning of the season, then we had her and Walt towards the middle of the season where Walt was debating whether or not to use the ricin on her, and now we've got her and Todd. And every single time that we do this, she tries to sit at the the opposite table. You know, Mike just gets up
and
sits
with
her.
And by the way, Mike just said from the beginning, we have to kill her.
Yeah.
Lydia.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew. God love him, he knew.
He
was like, she has to die.
Yeah. But she's still alive, and she's still greedy, and she's still doing, like, this way over the top, like, I'm in a criminal conspiracy BS. Like, they're sitting back-to-back,
totally
and they're
neurotic.
Talking.
It's one of again, I talked about this on other seasons doing the show, and then got tons of hate mail from all Maria's fans.
Okay.
But Maria Menounos has, like, five friends who are like Lydia.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Completely just neurotic with expensive bags and the big glasses and just self-absorbed.
Yeah.
And just, oh, yeah. No. Like, and
this...
running major companies. And I've seen a lot of Lydia's. That's why every time I see her, I laugh.
But she's like putting her shit out in the open, and she does it every time.
Sorry. Block your ears, Christian. She's still a female at the end of the day.
Oh, stop. Kevin Undergaro, this is not a home for misogyny, okay? This is the Breaking Bad after show. We only have one episode left. Let's have some decorum.
Okay, she was just greedy.
She is incredibly greedy.
She just got greedy.
And it shows the difference between Todd and Walt and Mike. Walt and Mike didn't put up with the back-to-back BS. They got up and they sat at her table.
Right.
Because they're strong enough to make that move. Todd is supplicant. He's looking for praise. He's looking for approval from her. He's not looking to be her boss or, like, really even to be her partner. I feel like on some level, and you guys may take me to task for this, I feel like he almost wants, like, a mother figure out of her. Like, in, like, a creepy kind of psychosexual
way.
I can see that, absolutely.
Yes.
He wants like, her to give him a big hug and, like, pat his head and be like, you did good, son.
He wants her to give him the ice cream.
Exactly. Because, like, growing up with the Aryan Nation, they didn't give him any tenderness.
No, ice cream from the Aryan Nation.
Yeah. He's somebody who's been living between kicks. He's, like, he's Jesse if Jesse didn't have a shot in the world. Like, that's the thing. Jesse's parents were crappy parents. But he had all the opportunities and advantages that Todd never had.
Yeah, he's a mutation.
He's a mutation, and he's got a better brain than Todd, you know.
Oh, I'm saying Todd's a mutation.
Oh, Todd's a mutation.
And Jesse, absolutely. And
Todd
is he's just a great mimic, and he's super committed, and he just has a case of the don't cares.
Mm-hmm.
He only cares, you know, he's only caring about...
I don't think he has the chemical to care in his brain.
No.
I think
he's totally disconnected, but look
monster.
Who raised him.
Yeah, exactly. Look at the smile, the slight smile crossing his face when Jesse's ratting him out about Drew Sharp.
Yeah.
He was so proud.
Proud. Then, see, guys, I killed
this kid. Go me.
Gotta get Todd working here. Phil, make a note. Really need to tease
him. We need a Todd.
We make that public.
We have Stephen the Mew. No, we have Stephen the Mew. He's fantastic. Stephen, hey, Phil. Can you make a note for Steven to kill somebody for us?
let's strike that from the record.
Just
and,
get Steven ice cream. That's all we need to do.
So we're moving on from these guys. My last line is
this.
And this will, you know, it'll probably be our last line when we wrap Walt. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say it now. I have one king. Oh, look.
Two kings.
And that's Walt and Lydia. Next subject!
Walt and Lydia, we could talk about that We're going to come back to that when we get through
who
Walt's
are the two
journey.
Kings?
All right, I know.
Is it Jesse and Walt? Or is it Skyler and Walt?
No, it's Walt and the vacuum cleaner repairman.
Walt against himself?
No,
it's not.
Walt
yes,
and
it
Jesse.
Is. Because here's
it's
the
Walt
thing.
Walt and Jesse. No. It's always
no,
Walt and Jesse.
No, stop it. It's not the guy. It's,
yes, it is.
Forster
yes, it is. It is Robert Forster.
The two episodes.
It's Robert Forster, and I'll tell you why, Kevin Undergaro. You give me a second, and I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You might be right.
We have the one king who built his kingdom from scratch. He fought and he scrambled and he put piece brick on top of brick
right.
until he had a massive kingdom all his own. And in the span of a day, it was dismantled and he was left with an eighth of that kingdom, right?
Yes.
$80 million reduced to 10. And then he has to start parceling out what little bits of the kingdom he has left to various people to preserve his own existence. Knowing that he will ultimately die in mere months. Robert Forster's character, after that great scene where he's like, if I ask you to give this money to my family, would you? If I said yes, would you believe me? Silence. One king, two kings. This man didn't have to build a kingdom. He just had to wait for the last king to die off. And then he just gets to walk away with over $9 million in cash. His life is set for the rest of his life. And all he had to do was be present at the right moment and realize his good fortune. He said, there's never been anyone that I've kept in continued contact with. That's not out of the goodness of his heart. It's not even for the money that Walt's paying him. It's because ultimately he will be the last person to know where Walter White
agree with all that.
And his money is. One
I
king,
agree with that.
Two kings.
And it could be because they're both in that same scene together. So mm-hmm. it's two kings. But I don't know. That's going to foreshadow a battle, you know, to me
totally.
At the end. But
I like that, but I just don't think it's satisfying for the audience.
If that's it, we don't even know if that's
well, it's
true.
Not like
and
the
by
key
the way,
conflict.
And by the way, it may not ever pay off. It may be mm-hmm. for us all to say, is it Jesse and Walt? Is it Walt versus Walt? Is it Mr. White versus Heisenberg?
Yeah.
Are those mm-hmm. the two kings? So anyway, okay, so finally we need to talk about
yes.
Walt.
Yes, we do. Okay, so we finally open with the vacuum cleaner repairman who, damn it, is not Vince Gilligan, and I so have wanted it to be for a long time. It wasn't, but it was Robert Forster, who's an amazing actor. I'm so glad that he got to be on the show. We get to see the inside of the vacuum cleaner repair home or whatever you want to call it. And out steps Saul in kind of a twist. We thought we were picking up directly where we left off.
I was
off.
Dying.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, is this a prequel? Is this how Saul got started in New Mexico? No, it's current. And Walt's just having a tantrum down in the room, throwing stuff around. Like, and we see it over
great
the
open,
security
and then,
cam.
Yeah, and then we go to the opening right
brilliant
after that.
Little teaser.
And we've got Saul's in blue and mm-hmm. comes in at the blue spot. I mean, the blue, it's everywhere. The blue meth. And it's just interesting to note because, you know, you always see him in, like, orange. He's always mismatched mm-hmm. with the bright colors. Now it's full blue.
Yeah.
And then the next scene we see him, he's in white. Walter's in white.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, they're both kind of blank slates at this point.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
helpless. Mm-hmm. In many ways, they're prisoners of their choices. And they're about to kind of start these new lives. I love the scene between him and Walt because Walt still thinks that he has any kind of power over him. I think it's the right. first time that Walt realizes it's over in every sense. Heisenberg no longer has the strength that he used to have.
Well,
I can't bully this guy.
Yeah, but backing up, you know, I've always said that Saul's actually one of the better people in this. Like deep down, he always shows he has heart. And so he gives a nickel's worth of advice. He says, go turn yourself in.
Stay, face the music.
Face the music. That's the only thing that'll get your wife off the hook.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's probably why that character has more dimension, at least Vince Gilligan feels, to have his own series.
Yeah.
Because he's not just a used car salesman. He does have heart. He showed it, you know, when he looked in the mirror, the car mirror, it was two seasons ago, and he watched Jesse, you know, trying to do something nice for the girl and the
Andrea.
Kid. Yeah. So it's just interesting to see that, but that face to face between them, when Walt is trying to ramp up and be Heisenberg,
mm-hmm.
and he corners him like he always corners Saul, and Saul starts to cower, and then the coughing mm-hmm. and the crumpling over, and it's over. He says,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, no,
yeah. That was hard to watch.
I was like, yes!
No! Nothing is over.
No!
No, it was not over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor.
Look, I'm not talking about the war. I'm talking about that particular campaign. This is Walter realizing that Heisenberg cannot be the chief weapon in this war. Do you understand? Like, Heisenberg, I feel like, you know, we've talked a lot about, is it half of his personality?
Yeah, you're a pretty good host. I'm just telling you.
Thank you, Kevin.
That's really good. No, you're right, because, you know, but now that you say that, that's why, you know, putting on the hat, and we ramp up, and he goes down to the gate, and he's like, tomorrow.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's no longer as powerful a weapon as it once was, and he has to rebuild his other side of himself. Right. He has to find strength as Walter White to be able to make these moves. And I love that moment when he pulls the moment Robert Forrester leaves, he pulls the hat out of the bag.
The Frankenheimer shot.
Yeah. Right. He pulls it out, and it's dented. It's crushed.
Oh, before the Frankenheimer, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But he pops it out, and I'm thinking this is his moment of, like, we're getting strong. I was like, I'm grabbing Kristen. I'm like, here we go.
Yeah.
And then the hat goes on, and we've got that Frankenheimer rear shot. And, and then he comes to the gate, and tomorrow. And by the way, there's nothing that signifies lame more than the word tomorrow.
Yeah.
How many times do you ever hear people go,
you're so right.
Tomorrow. Hey, Phil, Phil, I have a question for the AfterBuzz confessional booth. Okay. When are we going to install the iPads so each show can have its own identity when it's in there?
Tomorrow when Maria buys us iPads.
Thank you. No, shh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
There's nothing more than tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow. Go back to, you know, Rocky, Rocky 3 against Mr. T.
Yeah, against Clubber Lang.
He said, you know what, he was trying to train with Creed, and he just said, tomorrow.
Yeah.
There is no tomorrow, Rock.
Well, and if you notice, tomorrow turned into months.
Yeah. Months and
tomorrow,
months and months.
The worst.
I know. And every bit of his strength is stripped away in this cabin, and he's left with no news, nothing to watch but Mr. Magorium's Wonder Emporium. Two copies. Just in case he breaks one.
Yes. Oh.
Which was just like, that's just the perfect lame-ass movie
right.
to be stuck with in this cabin.
And especially someone with such a high IQ. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just like, ugh, that's what you leave me with.
Yeah.
By the way, I said seasons ago that he was going to end up in the woods alone in a cabin with no one around him. I so called that.
Kristen, you're very smart.
You're very smart.
You're
also a very good host, Kristen.
That's not what I wanted. I'm just saying everyone was like, no way is he going to end up in a cabin alone.
How interesting was it that, you know, he couldn't even prick himself with the needle. And the guy said, it's just a little stick.
Yeah.
And that... Well, you know, when I saw it, my dad went through all of this, you know, when he had cancer. And it was just so sad to see him so beaten and just defeated.
Yeah.
But very interesting. We went over their dialogue of their card game. Yeah, definitely gives me some food for thought.
Yeah. Well, you think about that moment where he says, wait, stay for just a little while longer.
Yeah.
This is
$10,000 just for company.
Yeah.
Just for, he settles for an hour's worth of company.
While he has his chemo treatment.
Yeah. Pure solitude. He's been living with for, I want to say what? That's probably, when we see that scene, it's like maybe month three, the beginning of month three.
Well, they were talking about last time.
Had a hair and a beard.
He said, I think I got better from last time from giving the chemo.
Yeah,
so that's at least 2 months. This is at least the second time he's given him this treatment.
So I think it's probably two or
three months.
Of just being alone with nothing but DVDs in the woods, thinking about his family and his choices. Where did he go wrong and how can
just
he
just a man
it?
In his thoughts. And that's what they always say hell is.
Yeah.
It's
but,
just, you're just Sartre's no exit. You know, you're just in hell and you can't escape.
Exactly. And what a contrast from when he's bullying Saul. He's talking about, we're not done. You know, the mission isn't over. We're going to get five hitters and we're going to hit Jack and all those guys.
Yeah,
and we're going to get my legacy back.
It's over. You said it. You said it. Yeah. Heisenberg's over.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys, or at least Heisenberg in that form?
I think Heisenberg in that form. Like, you look at somebody like...
Heisenberg 2.0?
Yeah. Well, you look at...
Or a Waltenberg?
You look at Tio, right? You look at him in his wheelchair. Everyone thinks that he's weak. But in the last moment, you know, Hector Salamanca, he's able to blow up Gus Fring.
Right.
He still has his wits about him. But it's a different kind of strength than the kind of man who would try to drown one of his grandsons to make a point. It's still there, but he's got to channel it in a different way. It's not going to come out through traditional strength. He has to use the kind of strategy that he's been developing as Heisenberg.
It's just another level. I mean, and again, when you're that, like Jesse, when you have that much greatness in you, when you're resourceful, you will find a way to win. You will find a way to persevere. Okay, so you know, talking about Robert Forster's character, why is he bringing him Ensure? Ensure is like a nourishment that actually fortifies you and makes you strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just because
he said he's getting thin. We saw that when
was so painful to see how thin he's getting with the wedding
and
ring.
His wedding ring, yeah.
But no, but I'm saying if Robert Forster is just looking at his watch, waiting for him to die to take his money, why would he bring him the Ensure? If he was that guy, I'm just saying if he was that guy,
I don't think he's heartless. Well, here's the thing. Well, actually, no. That's an interesting point because I don't think he could get away with poisoning the Ensure.
Doesn't have to poison him. Just saying. But when you bring Ensure, is nourishment. My dad was on it, and it actually fortified him. It made him. You know, he was one of the few cancer patients that gained weight. Mm-hmm. You know, and that helped him. What was supposed to be 2 months ended up going a year and a half, and that was back 15 years ago when chemotherapy treatments weren't as advanced.
Yeah.
So when I saw the Ensure, I'm like, guzzle that shit down. You know, but I'm just saying that is a healthy thing to do. So, and that's this guy's just not evil. And he's just looking at his watch and he's patient and you know, maybe he's not obsessed with the money. Maybe it's just a business thing.
Well, that's the thing, right? If he was the kind of guy who would kill Walt for the money or like was that heartless, get him alone in the woods and then shoot him when he gets out of before he even gets out of the propane tank.
He's making round trips, 4,400 miles each way. He's not doing this.
I think the money. Yeah, well, the barrel, I think, is severance pay.
Gotcha. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Talking about, he finally gets the impetus to go into town because it's over.
Yeah.
He's thin, the wedding ring, everything, what he's heard about Skyler and how bad they're living, a taxi dispatch of all people, which I'm sure there's symbolism to the fact that she's dispatching calls. There's something more, interesting, just symbolically speaking. It's not coming to me off the top of my head, but he goes down to the bar and, you know, has the waitress say Aunt Marie's calling Flynn White.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know,
interesting.
Like that's the official name. He's just.
He probably, do you think he like legally changed it?
Yeah. And probably got everyone in the school to like buy in, or maybe it was the fact that. That's who Walt asked for, Flynn White, knowing that he'd respond to that.
Well, also, that's always what Marie called Walter Jr.
Right.
He kind of knew to call him that.
Right.
And it's what
ironically,
he calls himself.
He's in science class.
Yeah, in the same classroom, it looks like.
Aren't you guys surprised he's still in public school after all of this?
Well, they don't have the money for anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, but still.
And
like,
by the way. Wouldn't you feel so sorry for him?
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? He wouldn't be, I don't think he would be the target. I think people would see him as such a victim.
Yeah, well, but it wouldn't stop the looks, the staring, the whispering.
Well, we've been, when the call comes to Flynn White, there's been some time.
It's been months, yeah.
People are learning to live with it, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's not the first time that he's been called to the office since this happened.
And then, of course, again, great writing by Vince Gilligan, slowly building Dad. And we're like, you know, thinking maybe he's going to say, oh, send us the money. Here's it. You killed Uncle Hank.
Damn right.
And just, oh, God, you're awful.
I was so mad at him.
Oh, we were.
No, not mad. Not mad.
Oh,
look, here's the thing, right? And this is what I think separates Walt from the rest of all of humanity. All he sees is the reasons why he did what he did, right? They were ultimately good reasons for why he started this enterprise. But he is not holding himself responsible for the consequences.
Yeah, he is. He's living with it up there in that cabin. What was he supposed to do, call up the son and say, yeah, I killed Uncle Hank? But he didn't kill Uncle Hank.
Look, he didn't kill
Uncle Hank. Got himself killed.
Uncle Hank.
Because Uncle Hank couldn't let it go. Uncle Hank was more upset. That was his legacy.
Okay.
Uncle Hank was more obsessed with making the bust than he was for human people because he knew Skyler was going to get hurt. He knew that, you know, but he was like, yeah, but, and he knew Jesse was going to get shot. Even Gomi was like, wait, he's going to get killed. He's like, I don't care. I want my end fulfilled.
I agree with you.
And so anyway, so
I retract my point.
So anyway, so when Flynn hangs up the phone and Walt makes the second call to the DEA, and you know, the hockey game's playing in the background, then it just finally fades out, and he just lumbers over to the bar after he's made his call to the DEA, and mm-hmm. there he sees
he gets his dimple pinch.
Yes, scotch. Dimple pinch, his scotch, his dark.
What do you guys feel about that? Like when you're in trouble, like people pinch your dimples.
I think it's like patronizing. It's mm-hmm. patronizing. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, look at little Walt. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Walt. Yeah, you gave us a couple of ideas, but really, we started the company.
Yeah,
but you're really a sweet, nice guy, mm-hmm. and I don't know what happened. You just went crazy.
I'm so happy that we see them again after
so many
years.
Oh, I'm so happy too.
Because that's like paying
scene
off
of the crime. There. Mm-hmm. You know, they drive so much of him.
Oh, yeah. Well, we never got completely detailed of their falling out. We know it had something to do with Walt was originally dating Mrs. Schwartz.
And you know what I love about this? I feel like early on Vince Gilligan wanted to develop that, mm-hmm. but then we just got so carried away because the show just exploded.
Yeah.
But it's so great because we know what happened.
We know what happened, and then...
But we really mm-hmm. know. We can fill in the blanks in our brains. Like,
and
we
then,
know.
And then Grey Matter, after the first season, doesn't get mentioned once until the fifth season.
Right.
When he explains to Jesse how much the company is worth and that he checks it every day.
Every day.
Every day he checks the stock price.
And remember, go back to that scene where... He's back in his, when he's starting the company or even back in college, and him and his girlfriend at the time, and they're on the chalkboard and they're going over ideas and they're high-fiving together, and you get the feeling that, see, this would have been, this was the life he was supposed to have.
Right.
That was supposed to be his partner. He was supposed to start this big company.
Yeah.
That's how the foreshadowing of how it should have gone. And of course, it didn't go that way. And now we see them on Charlie Rose donating $28 million to anti-drug in the southwestern area.
Here's a question, right? So in the first season, not only do they offer to pay for Walt's treatment, but he offers him a job at Grey Matter to work on things like the old days. And I know that it's basically, it's a pity gift.
And by the way, they, first of all, have so much money.
Yeah.
That they would really have to be like Mr. Potter on It's a Wonderful Life, that kind of evil, not to throw him 50 or 100, 150 mm-hmm. grand for his treatment.
Yeah.
So fine. They were nice enough people, but
should he have taken it?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, looking back, probably. But I get where, he missed out on the big, he just keeps seeing the big giant ball of wax. That company was supposed to be a legacy. Okay, so I didn't get that. So now I'm going into the meth business. This is my legacy.
Yeah.
And we see it's all ended up for nothing. His legacy's gone. The money's gone. His life is gone. He's about to surrender. And then he sees them. And see, now this is where you're supposed to go into the Rocky training sequence. This is where I need him jogging up the stairs. But I was so excited. I was like, okay, I'm not going out like this. No effing way. And listeners and people watching us, do not go out in that way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Never.
Nope.
Never.
Get a massive machine gun.
No. There you are. Yeah. So Matt would like you to roll over. That's it. No, the music came in at the perfect time. Phil, you haven't seen the episode yet, but that. Yeah.
That's what happened.
I have breaking news for you.
What's that?
It is officially the best show on TV.
Woo!
You know what that means.
Yeah. They won the Emmy for Best Drama.
Yes. And despite the Emmys, we will air an episode. I like that idea.
Yeah. I want to know the numbers. Who switched over from watching the Emmys to watch Breaking Bad?
I'm sure plenty of people. Well, they also, Anna Gunn won Best Actress,
Best Supporting Actress.
They got tired of giving it to Brian. They realized he had had enough.
Yeah.
But Phil, when you see tonight's episode, this music comes in at the end of the episode signifying, oh, we are back.
Oh, yeah.
We are effing back. Mm-hmm. I see you weren't
And you
excited?
See those, oh, yeah, no, and then the cops descend on the bar and nothing left but a crumpled up napkin and a half-finished thing of dimple.
Right, and an unfinished drink because guess what? I'm not taking that drink. It's not mm-hmm. my work is a finisher. Yeah. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm not sedating
myself. I'm not going to take that dimple pinch.
That's it. I'm kicking out mm-hmm. like the Hulkster.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm so...
I know.
Excited.
It's gonna be amazing. Now, I think we should kind of.
I still have things left to do.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Ah!
What about Gretchen saying that brilliant man's gone, that sweet man's gone? I think she's totally wrong. I don't think
so. I think she is wrong.
She is. She's just talking out her ass because she's trying to save her stupid company.
Exactly.
But also, I don't think we see the hat next week.
I think you have to see the hat
before
the end of the series.
No, 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 but you might be right, because speaking to your point, like, no, it's Heisenberg 2.0.
Oh, you're right.
We may evolve.
He might be doing this as Walt, not as Heisenberg.
Right.
Right, finally, like, you know what, I don't need an alter ego.
And now...
There we go, perfect. Yeah, see, that's why I feel in the booth.
Predictions. Okay, now, here's one thing. So we've talked a lot about how this might end over the course of this season. A few things that seem to not be factoring into our finale, the Chilean connection that had kept Gus Fring alive for so long doesn't seem to be playing a significant role, and neither does the Czech Republic. So we can cross those off the list.
We didn't know. Czech Republic may rear its ugly head with Lydia.
Except they just produced meth that is...
So I think Lydia just represents them. That's why I think they're done.
Okay.
I think Lydia's them. That represents them. You're right about the other people in Chile.
Which is a bummer, because I really was hoping that was going to come back.
But you never know.
Yeah, you never know. But that would be so random to bring that back with no setup whatsoever for like a year and a half.
I don't know. I don't know. Here's the thing. I can't get over the high of knowing. I've just had enough. The last two seasons since Gus's face got blown off.
Yeah.
The greatest season finale I've ever seen in my life. I have seen nothing but poor Walter get beat up for the last two half seasons or whatever with this fake fifth season bullshit. These last two seasons I've seen. I am ready.
Okay.
I am ready for this last round to come out strong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the question, right? We all assume that he's going to take this gun and march on the Aryan Brotherhood, or is he going to go hold the Schwartzes hostage to be that effing nuts?
Until they tell the truth about his part in Grey Matter.
I think everyone's going down.
Oh, my God.
You think
he's just going to set Albuquerque on fire?
I think Grey Matter they just lit the wick.
Yeah.
Because, fine, no, you've got Grey Matter. You stole my company. You stole my legacy. And you know what? You just reminded me that my legacy is going to get stolen again. It's not happening twice in my lifetime. F that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back. Arians, Niedermeyer, dead man.
Yeah.
Right? Do you guys remember Animal House?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's when Belushi comes in and says, that's it. No, Arians going down. Mm-hmm. Lydia, down. Todd, down. Everyone's, that's it.
Okay.
I will, whatever it takes, I am going to use my superior IQ and my inner strength, I'm going to figure out a way to reclaim my legacy.
But here's the thing,
I'm
right?
I'm not losing my legacy twice.
Kevin, we've brought up before on this show.
Do you remember when the Fonz you tried to jump the shark,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is like, oh, we jumped the shark. It ruined the series. They forget the true significance of that episode.
Okay.
Okay? Because after he jumped the shark, successfully defeating the California kid.
Yeah.
Okay, he's walking along the beach, and Rich goes, Richie Cunningham's like, why, Fonz, why? And if you remember, Fonz lost out to his big acting role. He was going to become a big Hollywood star. That's why they came to California. He didn't get it. He said, you know what? Because I wasn't going home a double loser.
Okay.
And Walt, I'm telling you, he ain't going out of life
I know.
A double loser.
So how does it end, guys? How's it end?
But here's my thing.
Oh, I don't know how it ends. I just know it's going to be awesome.
I know.
And I know people are going down.
I know. It's just that machine gun of that size requires three people to work it.
Ah, well.
It requires three people to work it. So unless he found his heavy hitters or he plans on breaking out Jesse and chancing.
No, we're forgetting the ricin.
I know.
Who's the ricin for?
I don't know.
I think
that's got Lydia's name on it.
Yeah, we can give that to Lydia. I don't
care
about it.
No, you think Jack?
I think it's for the Schwartzes.
I'm telling you, the Schwartzes. That's the Fonz lost his acting job. That's all the Schwartzes
all right.
are. That's it. Now we got to beat the California kid. We got to jump the shark.
Okay. Well, then let's talk possibles, right? So the ricin. We've got Lydia. We've got Jesse. We've got Jack. We've got Todd. Those are the four big ones. Unless it's for him. Or
suicide.
Yeah. Or
after he's done.
Yeah. Or it's to get someone else, frame somebody for.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't even want to know because I'm just so excited he's back. And I know we're going to have good old fashioned ass kicking that we haven't seen since season four.
Damn right.
Wait, can I do the catches of the week?
Yeah.
Can I do the catches?
Let's do the catches.
Okay, sorry, Phil. So from my super fan Mike August, we see bar patents to symbolize prison when Skyler's talking to the feds. Previously last week when she was talking to Bree in the office of the car wash, Jesse escapes his prison as a contrast almost. It's the bars. I noticed that in the back, too. I also noticed an American flag, a tiny American flag, in a case, in a glass case in a frame, in the feds' office. Because to me, the feds and the feds' office looked so low rent.
Yeah.
I know her public defender also looked low rent, but it didn't look like it wasn't a case being driven by Hank, and it wasn't a defense being led by Saul.
Yeah.
So Todd wearing blue, like we talked about, is the symbolized him being a man of meth. A Tarantino connection in that Robert Forster and Michael Bowen are both in Jackie Brown. The deerhead scene on the wall when Forster is talking about Walt being a hunted man and him having unfinished business. Cool symbolism there. And he hung his hat on the deer as well, which is kind of maybe speaking to the retirement of Heisenberg. You'll undoubtedly, because the Frankenheimer shot that I pointed out, nice contrast between the desert of Tohajali.
Yep, Tohajali.
Last week to the snow of New Hampshire tonight. And then we know snow can symbolize death. Also, hell is either very hot or very cold. While playing cards, Forster says two kings, interesting as Ozymandias was the king of kings in the Shelley poem. Packaging money in the Ensure box was creative as Walt wants to ensure his family's taken care of when he's gone. Walt Jr. is wearing orange when talking to Walt. Hopefully not a sign he's going to die, as Hank and Gomez were wearing orange when killed last week. And the color's been used to symbolize death several times before. We also know the car, the Challenger was orange. We've seen it all through the show. But Saul wore orange ties a lot, too, and I think he's going to live.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's funny. Mike August, Jerry doesn't let his emotions get in the way. What an ungrateful prick that kid turned out to be, too. Awesome! Walt orders his drink neat as his life becomes messy. And I sent you an email related to the title of the episode earlier this morning. It's very interesting. But anyway, thank you, Mike, as always.
Thank you, Mike.
And, wow.
Yeah, wow.
I want to say that I think the ricin is for Lydia, and it's the stevia that she's always asking for, and I think that he meets her in the same coffee
But he
shop.
Was totally going to do
you
that when they were meeting up last
you
time.
You're a smart host, too.
All right, all right.
I also think that Jesse gets the chance to kill Walt, but he doesn't.
Okay, well,
like
we will...
Like that.
We will find out next week in the series finale of one of the greatest television shows ever made.
The greatest. There is nothing
All
else.
Right. Kristen Snyder, where can the people find you?
At Cinematic Escape on Twitter, or you can Bing my blog, Cinematic Escape.
Kevin Undergaro, where can the people find you?
At Undergaro, except that I still know how to use Twitter, but it's okay.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find me here on AfterBuzz TV on The Low Winter Sun, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Sleepy Hollow, and Sons of Anarchy after show.
Oh, that's right. So we have Sons of Anarchy. So I just got caught up on that.
With the boss man here. Yeah,
and I got Boardwalk, so I got to run right now.
All right. So thank you guys so much. We will see you next week for the finale.
Bye, everybody.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.